Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There are matters that require straightforward language, and our subject is one of them, our responsibility to the eldership. The Lord's church was established and was organized by Christ. It is revealed to us in the New Testament. Christ is the head over all things to the church, Colossians 1 and verse 18. It is organized into local congregations that are overseen by elders, served by deacons, taught by preachers and teachers, and every member a part of the body. This is the biblical pattern. And those who serve in the work as elders and deacons are men who are to have certain qualifications as they are outlined in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1. Elders have certain duties before God and the congregation, and their various terms are used to designate their work, such as elder, or pastor, shepherd, presbyter, overseer, and bishop. All of these are biblical, scriptural terms for this of which we speak. Now, Paul stated to the elders of the church in Ephesus, "Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also are of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears." Such is the reading of Acts chapter 20, 28 through 31. Their work is to feed the church the spiritual food, to exercise oversight or superintendence and direction of the affairs, guard the church from error, whether it comes from within or without, even from among themselves, and to see to it that God's will is done, that it's taught, that it's respected, rather than defiled and perverted and ignored. In Hebrews 13, verse 7 and 17, we read, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." And again, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Ruling, watching, being examples, leading, they're all parts of the work of an elder. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you." Those who are over others in the Lord are the overseers or the elders. Their labor includes service to the church, admonishing and teaching the things that must be proclaimed. In 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3, Peter said, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock." Now this repeats what has been said, plus the prohibition of being lords, acting like bosses. Elders are not dictators. They are not tyrants. They neither make nor break God's revealed will, but are to uphold the truth, defend the truth, not attempt to legislate truth, and certainly never compromise truth. But elderships do have authority to rule and to carry out their God-given function. If they did not have authority, then the very purposes mentioned in the above text could not be expedited by them. There is no more awesome responsibility on human beings than on elders. They shall give an account for everyone in their charge, Hebrews 13:17. And Paul calls it a good work, 1 Timothy 3:1. The congregation led by elders also has responsibility to those who lead. Elders are to be held with honor, 1 Timothy 5:17-18, even double honor, including moral and spiritual and material support, when they perform their duties well. 1 Timothy 5:12-13 calls for knowledge of them, which means more than simply knowing who they are and calling their names. It means to grant them the respect due because of the work they discharge. The verses also teach us to esteem them highly in love. This love is not some weak and mushy sentimentality or personal affection. We are to love every brother or sister. But God expects members of the church to help, not hinder, the eldership in its work. This is done by consideration and kindness and respect, giving aid and assistance. In 1 Timothy 5:19, it teaches us not to receive accusations against an elder, except it be by two or three witnesses. Those who lead are certainly subject to criticism. And they are not infallible in their work or in their lives. They are still human beings, and they are prone to mistakes individually and collectively, just like others. Sometimes some act, if an elder is to be absolutely sinlessly perfect, and then be infallible in his judgment, every time, on everything, he either is to be that way or he becomes a target. Well, God's plan calls for a plurality of elders over each congregation. That will help to prevent mistakes. When errors are proven, 1 Timothy 5:20 applies. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others may also fear. But the Bible teaches it is wrong to receive and accept accusation and criticisms of elders without proper proof. To open a barrage against an elder openly, publicly, or privately, when there is no support or justification for it, is to sin. Some are very long and loud in talking about and against some elders, but will not talk to and with the elders. Hebrews 13:7-17, already mentioned, teaches us to be mindful of them, consider it, which means literally to have a feeling for. It calls for attentiveness and giving heed and paying attention and conforming. We have a duty, friend, to follow their faith and to imitate their good lives, to obey their decisions and submit to their rules. The inspired writer is saying we're not to cause them grief while they do their work, but rather to be a source of joy to them. This does not mean to follow them or any other into doing wrong and sinning against God. The idea is really not difficult to understand, is it? Suffice it to say that leaders cannot lead if followers will not follow. It is strange how some in a congregation will ask a man to serve as an elder and then give him the hardest time that he can suffer in doing his work. The relationship of elders to the members is that of leaders and followers, brethren together. Since God expects elders to lead, does He not also expect members to follow? Elders are to feed. Members are to partake of the food that is offered. Elders are to rule. Members are to submit to that rule. When elders are discharging their duty, as the Bible teaches, they have the right to expect the congregation to feel obligated to hold up their hands and to give them support and assistance. Now, there are instances when elderships act arbitrarily, sometimes even sinfully. Nobody is required to follow such leadership as that. And when they go astray on some matter, we have the duty to point this out to them rather than just create rebellion against them. It is a sinful deed to be a rebel against those who properly rule. Now, we emphasize properly. We sin to defy those whom we are to obey when they are doing their duties. those who serve as elders are brethren in the Lord. They should receive the courtesy every brother is to give to every other brother, and even more because of the special task that the elders are expected to perform. It's true that some elders take advantage of their place. They act like they're drivers or personal slaves. We have known men in elderships who have yet to learn the first principles of being considerate toward the congregation, who have the "I am boss" attitude toward their work. Those kind exist. But the failure of some misplaced men, who by misfortune have been appointed over a congregation, does not excuse members from their duties. Very rarely is the case when there is not something deserving in an eldership. We urge elders to be attentive to their work and to discharge it with great efficiency. And we also urge members of the church to be aware of the responsibilities that we have toward the eldership. Friend, God's plan works better than anything man can devise when it is practiced. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.